out. I can't do this.
You're not responsible for that.
I'm just responsible for purchasing it. How it's treated afterwards, I can only hope for this.
But you're leaving structures.
Okay. So we begin the fourth sugya, if I recall. The fourth sugya. We just started it. Well, Martin, don't buy any more till the boys do something not to use it. They shouldn't use it. We're learning Nezikin, and they are the biggest Nezikin in this place.
What's wrong with them?
Take this
week.
You'll find out later.
It would take a lot for you to get sick from milk. Okay, we started the fourth sugya, and we're dealing with, so Sammy's welcome joining us, so we got to just get him a little bit grounded here with what we're doing. We're talking about damagers and the responsibility for a person to pay for the damages that his property causes. And we said there are four primary damagers. What are the name of the four primary damagers? Boar, shore, mava, hever. A boar is a pit. A boar is a pit. I went out of order. I went out of order. Person digs a pit and people fall in. If one's animal causes damage, a shore, an ox, different damages it can cause, which we'll have to see what it is. Mava, we said, is a machlokas. We'll have to see. And hever is fire, right? And we said those are called avos, fathers. And why are they called fathers? Because, good, their damages are written in the Torah. And we said if there are fathers, there must be
toldos,
children. And they have then they have laws as well. We are having an overall question, are the secondary toldos derivatives, do they have the same law as the avos, as the fathers? And what was the answer of Papa said?
Sometimes, yes.
Some are of the same law. Some don't have the same law. We're trying to figure out which ones have the same law or not. So we went through, we were told that a shore, an ox, has three avos, has three fathers. What are the three types of damages that an ox can do?
Karen
is the horn. Shane is the teeth it could eat. Rego, feet it could trample. So an ox can damage in three ways. Goring, eating, trampling. We went through goring. We said goring had how many toldos?
Four.
Four. What were the four toldos?
Negifa.
Pushing.
Meshicha.
Biting.
Aretzicha.
No.
No, it's primary.
That was the Hebrew word, negifa.
The other one is squatting and kicking.
Squatting and kicking.
Squatting?
Sits on something. Sits on something and damages. So those are the four derivatives, and we said they have the same law. We said those four toldos of Karen, of the horn, have the same law. They're very similar. The animal intends to damage. It's an unusual type of damage, but the owner is still responsible for that. So that, we've proven the biblical source for the horn. We proved the biblical source. We went through that. We showed the text for that. We showed that there were four derivatives, and the derivatives have the same law. Okay. So now we're moving on to the next two of the four of us that we talked about, and that's Shane and Regel. Shane, the teeth that eat, consuming, and Regel, and feet. All right. So we just started that, right? Did we start it?
Yes, we did, Rabbi. We got it. Point. We're up to the finish point.
We just started it. Okay, so that's fine. So let's do it one more time because that is an important thing. So let's again take a look in the Chumash, please. Shmos Chaf Beis Dalet. It's been a long weekend, so refresh everyone's memory a little bit. In the Art Scroll, that's going to be an age of 426.
So it's 22.4.
Okay? Now, there's two critical words you have to know, but let's look at the pasuk again. Ki ya'aver ish sada ocherem. If a man permits livestock to devour a field or a vineyard, I mean, you are allowing your livestock to cause destruction. Now, here are the two ways it could happen, and these are the key words you have to sear into your mind. Vishilach. That's the first word. Vishilach. It has the root word shalach, to send. Vishilach esbeiro. And it set loose his livestock. It's one type of damage. Ubier bisteacher. Or he grazed it in another field. Those are the two words. Shilach and bier. Those are the two critical verbs that are saying what the owner is allowing the animal to do. Shilach, okay, literally means he sent. Uvier means and caused to consume. Bier comes from the root to burn up. Fire burns. Ubier consumes. He allows animals to consume. Vishilach and he sends it. It's not clear exactly what the text means. But what's the law? Metav sadeu, metav karmi yisham. You pay from the best of his fields and the best of his vineyards. If the animal does damage in this way, whatever it is right now, the owner, when he pays, if he doesn't pay cash, he pays by giving the damaged person the best of his field. Okay, the Gemara now is going to analyze those two words, vishilach and ubier. What do those words actually mean? Remember, we're looking for the biblical source for shein and regel, for eating and trampling. Looking for the biblical source. If it's the biblical source, that makes it an av. That makes it a primary damager. So now let's go back into the Gemara. Keep the Chumash open. Keep it as a reference. The Gemara now is four lines from the bottom. So Tony, you could share with Sam today. We're now on the Chumash
that's
now.
That's quite all right.
No. Chumash, okay. We're on the Gemara now.
What side is that?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, it's four lines from the bottom of Bezama Bez, the end of 2B, the last one of the 2Bs. See, when the TV screen is here, I'll just flash up the page. And you'll have a little yellow marker, and you'll look there and you'll see it. God willing. But here, where are we, Tony? 2B4?
2B4.
Yeah, 2B4.
Is it?
No. To be or not to be.
Shein v'regel heichek siva. The last paragraph of 2B4. Yes. Second, right-hand column, the bottom. So what is the source? All right, the Tana. We learned in a brisa the following. The pasuk says, and I just quoted the pasuk on the word vishilach. That word vishilach, the brisa says zeharegel. That's regel. That's the feet. That's trampling. When it says the word shilach, it means the animal is trampled. What's my proof? There's a verse in Isaiah that uses the same root vishilach to say the same idea. It says, Mishalche, Regel, Hashor, Vachamor. Shalche, that's the same root as Shilach. And they're sending the feet of the ox and the donkey. Okay? So, what do you see? You see from the verse in Isaiah, the same root, Shilach, is next to the word Regel, which means a foot, which means to trample. So now, when we have the pasuk here, Vishilach, over here, we now know that it means trampling. You sent your animal to trample. All right, sending, the root is shilach, to send. So I don't know what sending means, but when I have the verse in Isaiah that says the same root, mishalche, same root, they sending of, and it has next word regel, the feet of the destruction of what an ox does, so we understand in our pasuk that shilach means sending. See, you can't, you know, Rajsko's nice, gave you the final answer, but how did Rajsko get it? From this Gemara. So now you look at the word vishilach in that pasuk. Vishilach has to mean he sent it for trampling. What about the next word? Ubier. What does ubier mean? Zohashen. That's the teeth. The consuming of eating. How do we know ubier means that? Vechenu omer. Because there's another verse in the book of Kings that says, kasher just as, and there's the same root now. Yivair, Beis Ayin Reish, has the same root as Be'er. And what's in contact? Ken Yivair HaGolo LaTumo. Just as the teeth will consume. Golo means teeth. Atumo, until it's finished. So we have the word Yivair, which in the context of Golo, which means teeth, Just like the teeth will yivair things atuma until they're finished off. What does the teeth do? Consumes, it eats. So we have a proof now that the word shilach means to trample, and ubir means to consume. Good. So now we have the source for shein and regel. All right. Good. That's the proof. And that was the second point. First question is, what is the source of shein and regel from the Torah? And now we've shown you from vishilach, whether he will send, and from that means trampling, and uvier, and it will consume, that means consuming and eating. So now the Gemara is going to ask why we need so many psukim. Omar, now that's the Bryce. So we already have, the Bryce already has told us the biblical source for trampling, the biblical source for eating, consuming, and that's why they're avos. That's why they're called primary. What the Gemara is going to do now for the rest of this sugya is question why the need for two separate words to teach us both of these. And in the process of that, it will tell us a number of interesting laws that come out of this. It's a number of questions. Question number one. The Gemara now asks, refers back to Amar Mar, the master in the Brisa said, we're in Gimel Amud Aleph, now we're on 3A1. 3A1. Right at the top there. Gotta get used to the pagination there. Amar Mar, the master said, right? Vishilach Soharegel, it says Vishilach. Sending, that means feet, trampling. V'cheinu amer, and you brought a pasuk from Isaiah to prove it. Mishalchei regal ashor v'chamor. Sending the feet of the ox and the donkey. So that's the proof. So now you have the proof. So Gemara's going to ask a question the following. Gemara's going to ask, why do you need to prove that shilach means trampling from an external verse of Isaiah? We should be able to prove it by process of elimination. Why? Gemara seems to say, the Brises seem to say, Taima, the reason we said Shilach meant trampling, because you brought us a proof, right? Because of Rachmana, because the Torah wrote, Mishalchei regel ashor v'chamor, that brought a proof from Isaiah that used the same root of Mishalchei, Shilach, regarding the feet, that damage of an ox and a donkey. It would imply, the Brise would imply, without that proof, what if I didn't have the proof in Isaiah? What would we assume would be? Would it not? We'd say, well, I have no proof. I have no proof. In other words, only because I have a verse in Isaiah that has the same root, that means I proved that the word vishilach here means he's entered for trampling. And without it, I wouldn't know. Gemara says, that doesn't make sense. By process of elimination, even if I did not have a pasuk of Isaiah, I would know this. But my mukmasa, what else could you say that word is referring to? The word vishilach, what are the possibilities? We're talking about a person sending his livestock. When you send your livestock damage, there's only three ways it can damage. Goring, eating, and trampling. There's only three options. The Torah says, and you allow your animal to damage. And we're using these mysterious words. Shilach and beer. You say, well, I have to prove shilach means trampling from Verkan's Isaiah, because I wouldn't know it otherwise. We're saying, why not? You get by process of elimination. Because what could the word mean? E, Karen, if you think the word means you let it gore, well, wait a minute. Ksiv, we already have a different psukim earlier that explicitly tells you an animal gores. So if we already have verses telling you an animal gores, I wouldn't say that this means goring. Okay, what's the next option? Ibishane, if you're going to say the damage is referring to eating, but Ksiv, the next word says ubier, and beer we translated as eating, consuming. So if I have explicitly goring and I've explicitly eating, so what could the word shilach be referring to if not trampling? So why do I need a verse from Isaiah to support the fact that shilach means trampling? By process of elimination, I have no other way to understand it but to say it means trampling. That was the question. Why is the verse from Yeshaya need to show that he will send his regal? What else could it be? We already have verses for Karen and Shane already. The answer is Yitzrich. We need to prove that the word shilach means trampling. Because if I didn't, we could erroneously interpret the pasuk differently. I would have thought if I didn't know that shilach meant trampling, I would have thought edi ve'edi, this and this, those two words, shilach and ubir, both, ashen, we're speaking about consuming. Both of them would be speaking about consuming. Why? Because there's two different ways that an animal can consume. Two ways. One way is, let's say an animal is walking out in a field, and the field has some, it's growing some hay, some, what do you call it, wheat. He eats some of the wheat, eats the top part of the wheat. Now what can happen after he eats the top part of the wheat? It could grow back. It can grow back.
Let's
just like
grass.
You, just grass like you cut the grass.
Grass will do that.
Grass, okay, grass, okay.
Grass
eating the grass. So what do you do? We all know. We mow the lawn, and guess what? Next week gotta mow it again. Right? Yeah. Gotta mow it again. Right? So let's say he damages the type of produce that, you know, keeps growing. He mowed off the top, and now, but more will grow afterwards. That's one way of damaging. Another way is if he goes right to the root pulls out the whole root. Let's say he takes a carrot. Carrots grow to the ground. He plunks out the whole carrot and eats the whole carrot. Is anything going to grow back from that spot?
Not likely.
No. So there's what we will call, you know, total consumption and partial consumption. That's two different ways of the damage of eating. One is like permanent. Once you pull the carrot out, there's nothing coming back. The other one, it's partial. Hasn't done total destruction. So now, if I didn't have a proof that shilach meant trampling, so then I would assume that the word shilach means one aspect,
partial
consumption, and ubir, because bir means to fire, a fire, fire burns everything. Bir would mean total consumption. So I would think the Torah is telling me, when you send your livestock, we're only talking about consumption of eating. The word vishilach, which means to send, doesn't sound so all destructive, could be referring to partial consumption. And the word ubir, burning, which implies more, would be total consumption. And we need the pasuk teaches under both circumstances you pay. I would have erroneously thought that. Therefore, we have to say vishilach means trampling, and it doesn't mean, you know, one of these types of consumption, partial consumption. That's what it says inside. I would have thought, the second verse of beer that would imply demachal yakarna, you did total consumption. And the first word, vishilach, is referring to delo mechal yakarna. You did not totally consume it, and therefore it grows back. So I would think if it's growing back, maybe you don't have to pay. That's what the Torah says, both, you have to pay for both. So I would have thought that. So now the Brisa say, no! Kamash Malan, it comes to teach us. The Brisa says what? That no, shilach means what?
Regel,
trampling, and not partial consumption. That's why I need a bus. If I would have just, like, you didn't have an art scroll, and you say, you let your animal go destroy. Vishilach and ubir. What does it mean? I don't know. Shilach would mean partial consumption. Beer means total consumption. So the comes the bride said, no. Shilach means trampling. Because I have a verse in Isaiah that says it means trampling. And only ubir is talking about consumption. And that's the answer. The verse must teach that he will send his regel. One might have thought that these are two words for shame. One who VR for total consumption, and one Vishilach for partial consumption. That's why we need Bryce to tell you specifically that Vishilach means trampling. That's where we got to last week. Okay, is that part clear? Yeah. Questions?
So that means both full liability.
Full
liability for either one.
For either one. Okay. And I needed a Bryce to tell me that the word Shilach means trampling. Okay, so now, what do you think the Gemara's next question is going to be? Now that you're telling me that I only have one verse for consumption, right?
What are you going to do for partial consumption?
How would I know if you're obliged to pay for partial consumption?
That's right.
Maybe only pay for total consumption. The word beer literally means fire burning up. It means implying total consumption. How would I know you pay for partial consumption now? And that's the next question of the Gemara. Gemara now asks, Vahashta, and now, to Ukimna, that we establish that the word Shilach is going on, Aregel is going on trampling. So now, Shein, the teeth, the eating, Delomachal Yakarna, that's not total consumption. Minolan, how do I know this? And that's point number five, the question. Since we use he will send for Regel, what is the source that Shein is liable for partial consumption? See, got the question? How do I know partial? So now the Gemara is going to answer a very interesting answer. I have to explain the concept. One of the principles of deducing understanding in the Torah is called a hekesh, where you have two items that are put together next to each other in the Torah. In other words, in one sentence, the Torah writes there's a damage of trampling and there's a damage of consumption. In one sentence, in one breath. Now, the Torah could have read them in two separate sentences. One sentence for the damage of trampling. One sentence for the damage of consumption. And that would have been fine. But no, the Torah puts them, mamash, in one clause. Vishilach ubir. He trampled and ate it. When the Torah puts two concepts in a very close juxtaposition, there's a reason why the Torah does it. And what is the reason why? To show you that there's similarities between the two concepts. If there weren't similarities, God would put them in different verses. But if he's putting them in the same clause, that means what applies to one applies to the other. Okay, so now, you have two words. You have one word is Vishilach. Get the right marker. I hope it's a good one. You have the word Vishilach. You have the word Ubi'er. Okay? Shilach literally means send. Bi'er literally means consume. Totally. Now, when I look at this word bi'er, we were afraid, we were saying, well, how do I know for partial? How do I know for partial? Right? How do I know for partial? The word bi'er itself intrinsically means consume all of it. That's the intrinsic meaning. But we, how are we gonna know you're obliged to only eat part of it? So how are we gonna do that? Because the Torah juxtaposed these two words next to each other. So to compare Bi'er to Shilach. So what's the comparison? Let's look at the word Shilach. Shilach literally means to send. To send. So what are we saying it's referring to? This is referring to the, to what? Trampling. Right? He said this is trampling and Bi'er is eating. Okay. So now, the word Shilach, the word trampling. Let's look when an animal tramples. Now when an animal tramples, could it trample in a way to cause total or partial damage?
Sure.
Yeah. Good. It could trample really good and pull the carrot right out of the ground and smash it up. Or it could trample in a way that does partial damage. Couldn't it?
Yeah.
Now, the word shilach just means sending, doesn't seem to discriminate between total or partial damage. It just says shilach. You sent it to trample. Trampling is trampling. You know, there's no reason to think only one kind of trampling and another. Right? Bi'er, by the nature of the word bi'er, which means burning up. So we understand it means eating, but burning just means the whole thing.
Full consumption.
So now, the fact that we juxtapose this word to this word is saying that this has to have the qualities of this. Now what's the quality of a shilach? Where we make no distinction between what?
Partial and total destruction.
Between partial and total consumption. Or destruction. So just like over here, the word inherently, the word shilach, see the Gemara is teaching you how to read Chumash. All the Gemara is doing is teaching you how to read a pasuk correctly. You look at Mr. Arskol, he just says whatever, trample or whatever. What does it mean? The nature of the word, you have to know Hebrew. Shilach just means literally sending. So the animal was sent. When you're sent, you're walking. So the damage is trampling. But it doesn't tell you how, what to the extent.
Yeah.
It doesn't tell you, we assume any extent.
Yeah.
Any extent. Total or partial. Now that we have this word juxtaposed to this word, it's telling us that this has to have the same principle as this, and therefore no distinction is made as well. Okay? So that's how we know you pay for partial consumption as well. Because it's compared to trampling, where we make no difference between total and partial consumption as well. So now let's see those words inside the Gemara. We say like this, Dumya de regel, just like regel, just like trampling. Ma regel, just like trampling. Lo shna, there's no difference. Michal yakarna, total consumption. Velo shna, there's no difference. Lo michal yakarna, there's not total consumption. Afshein, so to teeth, so to eating. Lo shna mechal yakarna, doesn't make a difference if it's total consumption. Velo shna lo mechal yakarna, doesn't matter if it's not total consumption. So that's the principle. So look how God is able to tell you so many laws with so few words. That's the genius of God. He just writes these three words next to each other. He says Vishilach Espiro, and he sent his animal, Ubir Visteachar, to consume another field, putting the word Shilach Ubir in the same pasuk, saying we have to compare them. And just like Shilach, the inherent word Shilach, sending, does not imply any distinctions about how much damage, that will teach us about Ubir the same thing. So now we know that law. Good. So it comes out, we now, in the process of this discussion, we've brought in a new law. We said, okay, there are primary damagers, trampling and eating. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you obliged if it's total damage? Maybe only then. Maybe not for partial damage. But the way the Torah juxtaposed the two words, it's now teaching us that for both of them, you pay for total or partial damage. See that? Now look at all these laws that are flowing out of these three words. You begin to understand how rich the words of the Torah are. You got that? Since Vishilach is a neutral word insofar as the amount of consumption, so that means any kind of consumption. Right. So that's going to teach us the word beer by eating the same thing. No different.
It's the same
pasuk. It's three words next to each other. Right. Same clause. It would be a different pasuk. We'd say, okay, this pasuk has these laws, this pasuk has these laws. But it's the same clause. It says, if a man permits livestock to devour a field or vineyard in the following ways, whether he set loose his livestock or he grazed in another field. That's combining two ideas in one sentence. It means they got to be similar to each other. So just like trampling, the word shilach doesn't seem to make a difference in how much. That's going to be the same law for ubier. It's going to have that same meaning. Okay, so now you understand why we need a separate, we have to know shilach means trampling, right? Because otherwise we could make all kinds of mistakes.
So that means the penalty for trampling and eating are equal.
Equal.
And whether they graze or destroy the vineyard is equal.
Well, first of all, we know that from the text. We're saying that Vishilach means trampling. The Torah says, for trampling you gotta pay. It says, but pay by the best of your field. Right? Ubier, consuming. The Torah is clearly saying.
But the losses aren't the same.
Whatever the damage is, we evaluate the damage. $50, $100, $500, whatever the damage is, total damage, partial damage, you pay whatever we've evaluated the damage to be. Okay? Now that explains, so what do we have so far? We now know that shilach means trampling. We couldn't say we learned it from the process of elimination, because then we would have mistakenly thought shilach means consuming without totally consuming. So therefore I have to say, no, it means trampling. But how am I going to know non-total consumption? Because the way the word shilach was written, where it doesn't discriminate between how much is destroyed in the trampling, will teach us we don't discriminate by how much was destroyed by the eating as well. So that, now, what's going to be left for tomorrow's lesson? Now we've got to reverse it. We're now going to go to the next word. Let's just look at the next line, and we'll just see what's going to come up for tomorrow.
That's the same sugya?
Same sugya. Because
it's a period.
Doesn't matter. The sugya is, what is the proof that Shade and Regal are avos?
Okay.
And they're so intertwined, I wouldn't break it up into two sugyas. All right? So now we go to the next part of the braisa. Amar Mar, the master said, Ubir zu Hashem. Beer, the word beer means consumption. And I need to prove it also from another verse in Kings. When the teeth consume completely. Right? So again, the Gemara asks the same question. Time, you tell me the reason we know that beer means consuming, because I brought another verse. The cause of Rachman, because I wrote, Kasher Yavar Gola Tuma, we brought another verse to support that. If you didn't bring me this verse, it would imply. What's going to imply? Not? Wait a minute, but Mike, what could we use this verse for now? What, again, let's go process of elimination. What could the word ubir mean otherwise? E, Karen, if it's going to mean the horn goring, Ksiv, we already have that verse from before. E, Baregel, if it means the feet, no, Ksiv already says Rishilach. So what do I need a verse for that as well? Same question, just on the next clause. Now, we'll continue this tomorrow, but now you get ready to see. What do you think the answer is going to be? Just what do you think the answer is going to be? Similar to the first answer. What?
It's total consumption, I guess.
If I didn't write, I think both Pesukim are talking about trampling.
Something harsh and total.
We'll have to, maybe different distinctions. We'll have to see. But that's what's going to happen. That's coming up tomorrow. Okay, so we're up to through point 8. Up to through points. I'll send this to you, and really what you're going to get is also tomorrow's lesson as well, with all the resolutions. So Sammy will put you on the list. So you only have to worry, Sammy, from Sugya 4. Okay? That's what holds you responsible for. The first three...
Sam, does you have an email, Sam?
I beg your pardon?
Sure, yes, Sam, but I...
Aren't you aware of it?
No.